back over the course of this past week. We obviously had markets in turmoil through much of last week. We've got the start overnight of what looks like another bear market rally. And I stress that it's a bear market rally, it may go a little distance, but it won't necessarily go far. And the proximate cause of the rally overnight was two little bits of good news. Not if you're wealthy in the UK, but in the UK, a bit of a back down on part of their expansionary budget that was brought down under the new Prime Minister Liz Truss. And so the top rate tax cut, they have answered the call, the howls that this is not the way to go, and have abandoned the cuts in the 45p tax band, which was going to go down to 40. That's now off the table, and so that takes away a little bit of the sting of some of the problems that was there with UK policy, and that had caused a lot of turmoil, particularly in the British markets. And overnight, the markets in the US are into the old game of saying, oh, we think we can see the peak for interest rates in the US, therefore that's time to rally. Well, the answer is, well, you might be able to rally short term, but not long term, because the whole point about monetary policy this time around in the US is that it has to weaken demand. And the proximate measure of that will be that the unemployment rate has to go up. And then with a lag, the inflation rate, after the unemployment rate goes up, eventually comes down to something which is sustainable over the long term. That's still a very long process. And so we've still got plenty of data points which are going to knock this for six at points over the course of the next few months. And over the course of the past week, some of the things which led to the tail end of the last swing down were things like the deflator, the core price, consumption price deflator in the United States, which came out for the month of August. And this is the favoured inflation measure by the Federal Reserve. It was expected to edge up to 4.7% year on year from 4.6%. It went up to 4.9. So that suggests that there's still a fair bit of work even to get over the hump of the inflation rate over the course of the next few months. We also had things like consumer confidence came out. Rather than getting weaker, it actually strengthened a bit. It bounced to 108 from 103.6. That's not exactly what you want to see at this point. If anything, you want the weaker data. And also the initial jobless claims came out, and they came roaring down under 200,000. So when they're under 200,000, that still tends to say that the labour market is extraordinarily tight. The market was looking for 215,000 new claims for jobless benefits. That was 193,000. And that was down from 209,000 the week before. So a lot of these readings are still a little bit too firm for the US economy to get A, some of that tightness out of the labour market, and B, allowing that eventually to feed through to an inflation rate over time, which gets anywhere near the Federal Reserve's 2% target. And that was basically the tenor of a speech that was given by Fed Chairman Powell last week. And his comment was very much along the lines, we've got more work to do. This is going to hurt, and we still have to push interest rates up. The week before that, they'd said that by the end of this year, we're going to have a Fed funds rate, which currently after the most recent hike is at 3.25%. It's going to be up above 4%. And it's going to be around 4% for the next 2 years to get on top of the inflation problem they're facing. So, that's the core reason behind why you treat these bear market rallies with a lot of care. Yes, maybe they're a bit tradable. You can get a little bit of a bounce, but it's ahead of the next trough, unfortunately. This week in the US, we'll get more of that data, which will give us some feel for how the economy is moving. There's not a lot of it. But we do get, for example, and we got it overnight, the September ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. It did moderate a bit more than expected to 50.9, from 52.8, but it's still above 50. This indicator is an interesting one because typically you need to have it down near 40 to give you a good lead that there is a recession ahead, and we're a long way from that. So this is one that's worth watching. It's you know, once that starts clattering down through the 40s, then maybe the market can start to reliably start to think in terms of, the peak in interest rates is here. We can see in the distant future some point where the Fed might be able to reduce interest rates. Whilst it's above 50, not a hope in hell any time over the near term. And it's equally true of the ISM non-manufacturing PMI services sectors, 90% of the US economy. And that one is still very much in very strong territory. It comes out on Wednesday for the most recent month of September, and it's at 56.9. That's actually truly strong. The market expects it might come back to 56, but it'll need to come a long way lower than that. It has to get back into, well and truly into the 40s and stay there for a period to be heralding the softness in demand that's needed for the US economy to contain inflation. And right at the end of the week, it's a big one. It's the non-farm payrolls. And given what's been happening with initial jobless claims over the last few weeks, it's probably going to be another big lift in non-farm payrolls. The market thinks it'll be a bit more modest. They're looking, it's not really a modest number they're looking for. They're looking for an increase of 250,000 compared with 315,000 going back the previous month. But, I have to say that that estimate looks a little bit light on, given the way that some of the other labour force indicators have been running in the US, and it wouldn't surprise at all to see something north of 300,000 again. In amongst that data, we get things like average hourly earnings, and this is the other part of the US monetary policy tightening story, which is a little bit different from other economies. You really are getting wages moving along at an inflationary pace in the US now. And so average hourly earnings, going back to the month of August, were up 0.3% month on month. They're up 5.2% year on year. The market expects another 0.3%, and that would be about 5.1% year on year. At fives, these need to at some point get consistently well and truly into the threes, mid threes, if not a little bit less, to be consistent with a 2% inflation rate over the longer term. And at the moment, they're just lodged because of the tight labour market well above 5. That implies that there's not a hope of getting the inflation rate anywhere near 2% over the foreseeable future, and implies, as the Fed's been saying now, that interest rates not only have to keep rising, have to get to a level which is quite high and restraining, but then we're going to have to leave it there for quite a long time to make sure that they're working. And the other thing there is the unemployment rate. It did get a little bit of a lift because we got a few more workers coming into the labour force through the participation rate last month. It was at 3.7%, still a very, very low unemployment rate by US standards. That's expected to stay at 3.7% for the most recent week. So it'll be the key data reading probably for this week. In China, it's going to be a very quiet week there because they've got their national holidays most of the way through the course of this week. And the data we have had is largely purchasing managers' indices, which come out at the end of the month. And we had the September manufacturing purchasing managers' index. They are already quite soft. They're down at 49.4, going back to August, because obviously the Chinese economy is the one that's going in a different direction to most others. It's had a lot of slowing. That slowing has tended to contain inflation to some degree. The purchasing managers' indices below 50, they're below the expansion contraction point. It just bounced a little bit to 50.1 on the official reading, but the more reliable cakes in manufacturing PMI for the month of September deteriorated. It was at 49.5 going back to August. It came down to 48.1. Also, the services sector PMI, and like everywhere else, when people get out of lockdown, and that's a bit more problematic in China than elsewhere because at any tick of the clock, you've got about 15% of the population in lockdown as they try to get on top of a pretty modest Omicron outbreak. but you know, they don't rely so much on their vaccination rates because A, the vaccine is not quite as effective, and B, it's got low coverage amongst the most vulnerable groups, which is largely the elderly there. Only about 20% have been vaccinated. So yeah, this is one of the reasons why they still have to rely on lockdowns. That they got a little bit of a blip in service sector spending like we have around the rest of the world whenever they've come out of lockdowns. It's certainly not as powerful as elsewhere. And so the September services sector PMI, which was at 52.6 in August, came down to 50.6. So it is actually deteriorating. So still a deal of softness as far as the Chinese economy is concerned. We've only got the September cakes in services sector PMI to come out this week. It's out on Friday after most of the holidays, it was at 55. It's probably going to come down a lot lower than that. In Australia last week, we had evidence that we've still got way too strong demand here too. We had August retail sales, and they were about double market expectations. So market was looking for around 0.3% increase month on month. We got 0.6, and 0.6 came after a huge 1.3% increase going back to July. And the year-on-year increase now, this is compared with the same month last year, we're up 19.6% year-on-year for retail sales. That's the strongest we've ever seen for a year-on-year increase in retail sales. So, yes, you have people groaning and griping about interest rates going up and how that's starting to hurt mortgages, and certainly the housing sector is showing some signs of softness, but they're still compensating. They're saying, look, I don't care. I'm going to spend. I'm out of lockdown. I feel free to spend. I've got still got a bit of savings. I might as well blow that. And I'm employed. So it's a problem because that demand is going to keep inflation ticking here. And last week, we got a new monthly CPI out from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. This new indicator is not yet at the level where it's going to overhaul and overtake the quarterly CPI. The quarterly CPI is going to be around for quite a while yet, and is much more comprehensive in many of its components still than this new monthly measure. But this new monthly measure, for a start, it doesn't give us a month on month. You can sort of back engineer it. But all it gives us is an annual. And so this new monthly CPI says that inflation, which according to the quarterly CPI, we had a Q2 CPI, that's the most recent one we've got here in Australia, and inflation was 6.1% year on year. Well, apparently in July, according to this monthly CPI, it went up to 7%, the inflation rate. It dipped a little to 6.8% in August. That was because that was the peak month when petrol prices were coming back. So obviously there's going to be a reversal in that at some point. But it's highly consistent with a quarterly CPI when it comes out at the end of October for Q3, around 7%, up from 6.1%, and still very much on track to get to official forecasts of around 7.75, 7.8% in the fourth quarter. And yeah, that still implies, together with the strength running through retail sales, that the RBA, as it mulls today between whether it should be doing 50 basis points or 25 basis points, I doubt whether it can safely do 25 basis points yet. 50 basis points still needed to get that cash rate up to 2.85%, remembering that the inflation rate it's going to face at the end of October is going to be 7. So there'll still be light years away underneath that. The other thing is the retail sales figures suggest that given half a chance, Australians will spend. They need to bear that in mind. They also need to bear in mind that they will be very much the odd man out in an inflation-fighting world if they come back to 25, because every other central bank has done between 50 and 100 basis points. Yes, with a slightly worse inflation position than us, but they need to bear that in mind. this week in Australia, as I say, just before the RBA decision, we've got some data. We've got August home building approvals. These are very soft, going back to the month of July, down 17.2% year on year. Probably going to be something of a bounce in that, so up probably 5%. We have the RBA decision, and it looks probably as if it's going to be the 50 basis points, which will take the cash rate this afternoon up to 2.85% from 2.35%. And that still won't be the end of it. They will still need to do somewhat more. They've said themselves that they need to have the cash rate at least above 3% and hold it there for quite a length of time to have much of an impact. So I would expect to see them giving an indication that there's still more to come. We also get August international trade data. That will still be pretty strong, up around the $10.5 billion surplus mark, comes out on Thursday, from $8.7 billion. We also had the RBNZ this week, and the RBNZ, when they report, they've already got their cash rate at 3%. So next move for them is to 3.5 or 3.75. They're moving pretty fast to get on top of what is probably a little bit worse inflation problem over the ditch in New Zealand. On Friday, the RBA reports again with its financial stability review. Worth a read, because this will go chapter and verse into how housing credit is looking in the face of the rate hikes that we've had and whether there's any pressure points building up there. So worth a read of the financial stability review when it comes out on Friday. And finally, in Europe. You know, Europe, we're seeing softening economic activity. For example, the Business and Consumer Confidence Survey came out for September. That puts together all the business indicators plus also consumer confidence into one indicator. And anything below about 105, 110 is quite soft. Going back to August, it's down to 97.3. And the most recent reading came in at 93.7, so not unsurprisingly, it's worsening as we go. And there they've got the looming energy supply crisis heading into winter, which is looming large. They had an inflation reading came out last week. It's the preliminary one for the month of September. It was worse than expected. On all counts, it showed the CPI jumping more than expected to 10% year on year from 9.1%. The core inflation rate jumped from 4.3 to 4.8. The ECB very belatedly has been lifting European interest rates. Admittedly, have been going in quite large licks. Most recent move is a 75 basis point. Rise, but they've got to do more of that, even though they face they're a more imminent risk of recession than most other parts of the world. And it's the same conundrum. They've got to start untightening the labour market to make sure that inflation doesn't get entrenched over time. And the labour market there is quite tight. We had the August unemployment rate there, and it's still at 6.6%, same as last month, but that's well below where it was pre-pandemic, which was over 10, is by far the lowest unemployment rate seen in Europe in at least a quarter of a century. You've still got that tightness running through the labour market there. Also, a lot of wage demands running all the way through Europe at the moment. And we also have the quirkiness of that offshore island, Britain, where they decided under the new government, or not the new leadership changing government, that they were going to have a very expansionary budget at the same time as the Bank of England was trying to put its foot on the brake. In the process, they nearly turned or nearly destroyed their bond market. The Bank of England at one point there's had to leap in large measure, buying bonds at the same time as putting interest rates up. The latest U-turn there to decide not to cut the top rate tax rate. It helps a little, but they've still got the wrong policy prescription for a very severe inflation problem that they're facing. I should mention some of the data that's coming out of Europe this week too. Probably the key one and the most eye-watering one is their producer price index. You know, this is what's in the pipeline for inflation. It's for August. Going back to July, the producer price index was up 4% month on month, 37.9% year on year. The market consensus forecast for August is 5% month on month, 43.2% year on year. With that in your producer price pipeline, it's very hard to see that all of us are considerably underestimating the inflation that still lies ahead in Europe. These are some of the risks that lie out there. As I say, the market's making merry today. We'll have a bit of a bear market rally, but we have a long way to go on this. And whenever you get these rallies, I think that's the way to treat them still. These are bear market rallies. We've still got a way to go before, A, we see the top in bond yields, B, we see the bottom in most equity markets. Most equity markets have still got pretty optimistic earnings expectations built in by analysts. If we are certainly almost facing recessions, that means those earnings expectations have to adjust down a long way, which in turn means that the market has to adjust to that. It's barely done that with the falls that we've seen so far. So those are the sorts of issues that we face as we march ahead. I should make a brief comment. There won't be a call next week as I will be away on leave, but normal service will resume on the 17th of October, Monday the 17th of October.